forget them. But we thank you for people that notice. We thank you for your presence that provides a source of our thanksgiving. We pray for those that we talk about that have had health issues or still have ongoing health issues for their loved ones. And we pray in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Lord of light and of life, for your healing. And we pray that you'd give your angels charge over them and us. And Lord, guide the words of my heart that they would be true to your words. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, any of you are young, did you ever go out near a farm? Was there ever a bull in one of the meadows? My brother and I climbed over a fence to look at the bull. And he sort of ignored us till we pestered him. And then I began my track career. Fortunately, I found a tree that was sort of down, and I ran right up that tree. I didn't know I could until I did. But this morning, I want to tell you a story I read. There's two men laying on their bull like that, and something or other aggravated the bull, and the bull started racing towards the two men. And they were running for all they were worth. And the one shouted to the other, "Please, John, say a prayer, run for it." And the guy said, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." And the other one said, "But you must, you must. The bull is catching up with us." Well, Sam, the only prayer I know, one my father used to repeat at the table, he says, "Please, please say it." And as the bull drew near, you could hear the words, "Oh Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Thanksgiving that we have in God, it prepares us for what we're about to receive. And I've had a wonderful Thanksgiving, but I've also had Thanksgivings that were overtones of fear and of ill health and a host of problems. But God, who makes us thankful without all of those Thanksgivings, and He's with us and He helps us. And as we are thankful, it truly does prepare us for what we're about to receive. I love the passage in Isaiah. "Listen, you watchmen, lift up your voice. Together they shout for joy when the Lord returns to Zion." And thanksgiving lifts our joy. It gives us the right attitude. In Micah, that was read, "I watch in hope for the Lord." And there's this sense of watching with joy and hope. There used to be a famous pastor named Alexander White, and he was known for, he was sort of the Bob Shuler of his age. He was always positive, and especially in prayer. And he arrived to his church one day, and it was raining and sleeting, and the clouds covered it, and it was dark, and the attendance wasn't bright. And people were irritable. And there was one fellow there who thought, who was so truly negative, he said, "Now I want to see what he's thankful for this morning in his prayers." Because he was always thankful, so. And when he got to the prayers, the pastor said, "We thank thee, O God, that it's not always like this." The spirit of thanksgiving for what we're receiving and that which we're not receiving, of good times in the place of bad, it makes us watch. At the heart of watchfulness, which is the theme of Advent, the watchman, the prophet, the sentinel, it's looking forward and attentively. It's that sense of observing. I remember when I was younger that they had these little necklaces that that broke apart, that we call Mizpah. The Lord watch between you and me while we are apart. And that word Mizpah is like watchtower, or the Lord watch to bend forward and to look. And to look almost like a spy would look, taking in all of the details. You know, at the end of my communion, I always look around. And I hear myself, I look all around up there. And over the years, people will come to me, and once they'll ask me, are you taking attendance? I'm attending to the presence of God in order to watch in prayer for you. Remember what I said about the Thanksgiving? It's funny, I have a terrible memory for some things. But almost any prayer request you've ever asked me stays with me. I remember it because it helps me to watch over you like a shepherd. And so I look around, and sometimes it's something that someone shared about you. I've seen stories and listened and mistakes people have made. Times when they felt that people failed them. Illnesses. Confessions. And I facilitate by watching over you and praying for you. And at the core of this, if you know the Mizpah, remember God is witness between you and me. And so in Advent, we have this watchfulness. Although some of the passages that sort of reflect this ever so subtly, remember when the angels came to the shepherds, what were they doing? Keeping over their flock by night. And typically watchmen come at night. Any of you that particularly have been in the military, perhaps as a job also, you've been a watchman, or you went the circuit, and you watch. In watchfulness is the opportunity for discovery. And watchfulness is the opportunity for discovery. The centurion and those who were with him were keeping watch over the body of Jesus. And they saw or heard or felt the earthquake and what took place, and they were filled with awe. And the centurion, who knew what a watch was about, said, truly, this was the Son of God. In this Advent time, we need to watch for each other. Watch for each other in this church. If you see someone struggling, or someone that used to be here, we need to watch at work, or at school, or in our families, or distant families, and pray for them, and seek for the presence of God to surround them. It is an opportunity. Which is why when I ask different times for people for prayer requests, I take hold of those requests, and I pray for them, and I pray for theirs. And this is part of the watchfulness of being a Christian. Second Peter goes on to say that we not only watch, but we remember what we observe, we remember what we experience, we remember what we are thankful. And I think it's right, Peter says, to refresh your memory. As long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to him. He makes every effort that you'll be able to remember these things. An English historian once wrote, "The true art of memory is the art of attention, the art of watchfulness. We remember what we choose to remember." Remember, I said to you that there are some things I'm really good at remembering, and other things less so. When I was a kid, there were a whole bunch of things in school that I did not remember well. But I could have quoted you the batting averages, hits, home runs, RBIs of the whole Brooklyn Dodger team. I could have told you whether they got lefty or righty and all sorts of things. But I didn't even have to work at that because I watched them as a fan, a fanatic. And as we watch for God, we become eyewitnesses, as Luke said, or actually Peter said, of His Majesty. We ourselves have heard His voice. Prophecy and watchfulness are about prayer, about what we watch, what we see, and then as we pray to God about it. Now, praying to God isn't just always like a candy machine or a Coke machine where you press a button. I don't know if I was about to say pull a knob, but press a button and it comes out. It's about talking to the officer or the sergeant of the guard. It's about listening to God for people and their needs and their heart. Prophecy, as he goes on to say, we ourselves hear his voice. It's about listening for the voice of God. As we read the Word of God, I look for the commands of God, for the wisdom of God. And then sometimes in prayer, I simply listen upon God. Now, this will sound funny, but think on this for a minute. Do you realize that when I take time in prayer to listen for God, I hear more of God than when I don't listen? Can you imagine that? So in this watchfulness, take the people that are at your heart, take the people that you see in such despair, and bring them to God. And you see the people that have strayed from the truth of God, from the Word of God, which is our truth. And take that to God and listen to God so that we can be part of seeking from God what we would hope for. This is our opportunity. At the end of the service, we have a hymn. I'm sure some of you have heard this story before. Martin Rinkhart was a pastor during the 30-year war. In the worst part of that war, he buried 5,000 parishioners in 1 year. An average of 15 a day from war, from pestilence, from all that accompanied it. His parish was ravaged with death and economic disaster. In the heart of this darkness, he prayed with cries of fear coming through his window. He prayed, and he wrote a table grace for his children that was later put into song. Now thank we all our God with heart and hand and voices, who wondrous things has done, and Him His world rejoices, who from our mother's arms take the power of thankfulness. And we can approach not only our lives, but the table of God. And as I began about the two guys writing from the book, O Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful. In Revelations, Jesus has sent an angel, and he speaks to the people, and the Spirit and the bride says, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty say, come. Let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life come. The words of the meal. Again, in the night in which our Lord Jesus was betrayed. Night of betrayal, he took, but even before he did that, he said, let us give thanks. After he'd given thanks, he took the bread, and he broke it, and he said, this is the body of Christ that is broken for you. Take this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of the one who never leaves us in our brokenness. After the same manner also he took the cup. And he said, this cup is the new covenant. Which is shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Take this in remembrance of me. The God who watches over us and enables us to watch for the presence of the Father. Holy Spirit and enables us to say to all,